Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Bobby Moore and Sir Jeff Hurst, the trailer booking and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, we celebrate our victories. Stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history. West Ham United, more than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is more than just a podcast.
Podcast.
It is season 13, unlucky for some. It is episode 1. Yes, we're in a new season. We're in the summer. We've had a little break. We are back. We've had our podcast party in the Ledger building in Docklands, but more of that later. I have two season ticket holders with me tonight. There's a little clue there. Nigel, where are you? What are you doing?
Yeah, I do own two season tickets, funny enough.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah, I'm in my shed.
Yeah, I
don't know the shit. Who'd you fucking think I was going to be?
I thought you would say you're in your living room or something, you know. Hang on, let me try again.
Chop, chop.
Where are you?
I'm in my shed.
Shedman. Shedman.
Sorry, a little bit rusty. You did renew. Excellent, excellent. And he's not here tonight. He might turn up later, but doubtful. Canning Town Len has renewed, and he's moved from Billy Bond stands to be close to you, isn't he?
Yeah.
That was lucky, as they weren't doing any seat moves.
We're going to buddy up, aren't we?
He just got lucky. And just, yeah. And John, where are you?
Hello. I'm at home talking to yous.
That must mean you're the other season ticket holder.
It must be, eventually. Finally, today, actually.
Well, you know what? You got lucky because you only joined the waiting list a few weeks before season tickets went on sale. You got really lucky. You got one, didn't you?
Yeah.
The chances of that, John.
Lucky guys. There's three of us.
We're all lucky guys. You know, Len's a lucky guy. You're a lucky guy. This luck just runs everywhere.
I think they were glad to have me back because I was a
age-old
season ticket holder.
What was the reason?
I think that helps.
You're going to be in Trevor Brooking Napa, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm not even quite sure where
I
am, to be
honest. Aren't you? You're in your cheap seats.
I am in the cheap seats, but
we did offer you some more expensive seats. You went, oh, I don't love West.
I ain't paying that much. Yeah, no.
Looking forward to it. Welcome back. Welcome back, John.
Yeah, thank you.
Just need to persuade George when his kids grow
up. Yeah, George just needs a few more years, I would have thought.
Yeah. Good. Anyway, no football discuss because we don't discuss pre-season friendlies. There's a bit to discuss. I suppose we should discuss the Declan Rice stuff because we haven't been on air since and discuss transfers. But, you know, just before that, I just want to play this clip from today.
Again, because of the shortness of the summer and being in Australia, it's meant the time's been limited. But I'm sure we'll get down to work and do what we have to do.
No major incomings yet. Is it just a case of patience? Are you happy with how things are going, moving in the right direction in that?
Yeah, the club have made several offers for players. We're out in the market, we're quite active, and hopefully some of them will come off in the future.
My old nan used to say, God rest her soul, if you haven't
is
got
that
anything,
what she used to say?
She used to say, well, if you haven't got anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Oh. And you know what? He doesn't help, does he? You know, trying to say...
You didn't listen to your nan then?
I did, yeah.
Oh, right.
Never but now you're going to say nothing.
You also used to say, never go to bed on an argument. Right? Never go to bed on an argument. There's a little tip here. Look.
Hold on, let me write that down.
Good old Dolly, wasn't it?
Dolly, yeah, Dolly.
Never
go to bed on an argument. And can I tell you a little? It's a little bit not, it's not a football thing. But do you know why she said that? This is a true story.
It's quite argumentative.
No, one of her sisters, she went to bed once when she was very young, as a child. And obviously this is in the, I don't know, before the First World War or whatever in the... and she, or around that time, maybe 20s, maybe it was just after the war. But anyway, she had an argument with her sister, and who died in the middle of the night from tuberculosis or whatever children died for in those days. Mortality rate was very high. And so that's what the she said, never go to bed in an argument, because you never know if that person's going to be there in the morning. It's a somber way to start the podcast, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you started with a Moyes interview.
Yeah. Anyway, getting back to Moyes. Everybody knew Declan Rice was going. Everyone knew we were going to have the Declan Rice money. It's a bit disingenuous to say our time has been limited because we're in a final. Oh, did you mention that? And, you know, we went to Australia. Oh, right, okay, because you don't like going abroad, so time's been limited. He goes on to go, I know Mark Noble. Really? Didn't know that. But the Tim guy, he's a bit new, so I haven't really got time to know him because time's been limited. Oh, really? Same old, same old. John.
Hello.
What did you make of the David Moyes interview today?
It's David Moyes, isn't it? I think we should do a sweepstake for each podcast this season and, like, finds his aftermatch interviews, yeah, his press conference.
Oh, it's not many. It's not just, many clubs that get into Europe 3 years running.
Should do like a how many minutes it is until he mentions he's won a European trophy.
Yeah, he did mention that in the interview.
So,
and he said, you know how tough it is in the Premier League.
Draw
and
lots.
We've got lots of offers in, but it's really tough. And mention Pakatar, etc.
But, you know, you've gone a bit early straight on Moyes, didn't you? I thought we were going to be talking about Declan Rice.
Let's talk about Declan Rice. You're right. While I've opened a can of worms, let me just talk to Shepman. Nigel, what did you make of Moyes' comments today, if you have actually heard them beyond that?
Of course I haven't. Not bothered.
No?
No.
Okay. Well, let's move on. Let's move to you, Declan Rice.
Fair enough, isn't it?
When we talked about Declan Rice, with Len and everything, you know, we argued whether it'd even be worth 70 million, that it would be a record fee. And I don't think, if we're being honest, none of us thought he really would be sold for 100 million, let alone 105. I know the fives with add-ons. Let me make a statement first and for you to argue, Nigel. The club did well getting 105 million for Declan Rice.
Yeah, you can't... I mean, West Ham just haven't, you know, broken their own transfer record. They've broken, like, the British player transfer record.
Yeah.
For a sale of a player that we picked up for nothing at the age of 14.
Yeah. From Chelsea. Makes it even better that Chelsea got nothing.
Yeah, so for all the people that sit around and complain when we've sold players off in the past, why do we bother with the academy? We should shut it down. It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Well, there's £105 million in the bank
This pays the academy for probably 10 years or something.
Well, what it does is it offers a justification despite the sales. So if you now add up the sales in the past 5 to 6 years of academy players, it's a hefty balance.
My understanding, it costs around £6 million to run a Class A academy like the Premier League one. And we get £3 million from the Premier League. So the net cost is £3 million. And, of course, we have a end-of-season dinner dance award ceremony to help pay for it as well. So, you know, its real net cost is around £3 million a year. So you get a lot of £3 million a year in 105 million, really, don't you?
Yes, you do.
You were good at math. You could tell me exactly how many.
No, I'm
not. But, you know, my view is we had to take the money. The boy, you know, didn't want to stay. He wanted to move to Arsenal. It was a done deal. We all knew it. I mean, even Dodsey, who bumped into his dad, wouldn't answer you going to Arsenal. You know, it was a fake bid from Man City, as far as I'm aware. They never put in a formal bid, is what I was told.
Enya Luko was right then, was she?
Sorry?
Enya Luko was right.
Yeah, she was in some way. I'm not sure that she was exactly right, but she was right, yes. Yeah, there was no...
So you honestly believe that the people at Man City did that as a favour to West Ham?
I think they did it more... I don't know if they did it as a favour to West Ham. I just think they did it to fuck off Arsenal, if you're honest with me. I got told by the senior source that no bid came in. And the only contact was a inquiry.
Yeah,
an intermediary, not Man City themselves. So it all sounds a bit suspect. Now, what Man City did do, and I know this from someone who spoke to them, Man City would not deny it. So if they did us a favour, I don't think they put a fake bid in, right? I think that job was done by intermediaries and things. The favour that Man City did is to neither confirm or deny that an offer was made for Declan Rice. But you know what? The problem that Arsenal had is they promised Declan Rice, they promised his dad, that they would get him whatever it took.
Now, how does all this happen prior to all of this without actually not being against any...
Knocking up doesn't exist anymore. Let's be honest, John.
Against any regulation.
This knocking up doesn't exist. And tapping it's not up, done it? Tapping up. Knocking up is what you do with a girl when you get...
I don't know these days.
Yeah, apparently. So, I'm sure his dad went there and, you know, I'm sure he met Arteta for a dinner, and as long as they didn't discuss, you know, it's so difficult to prove. I think it goes on all the time, the tapping up, but no one's been, I forget the last time any club has been fined for it. You know, he promised, verbal promise, gentleman's agreement some time ago. Arsenal found themselves in a difficult position. They thought they could get him for about 70 or 80 million. They ended up paying 105. Then that was that, whatever it was, that long pause, which I think was just Arsenal going, we don't want to pay for his holiday, right? Because he was in Dubai, and then he was in Portugal, and then he was in somewhere else with the lads, filling his holiday because it was on international duty. They're paying him 250 a week. We're paying him, I know, 67. You know, if anyone lost out, it was Declan Rice from the wages of those extra...
Is that what he's on, 250 a week?
Yeah, that's what I hear. I mean, I haven't heard that from senior source, but that's... People close to Arsenal is saying they're paying him 250 a week on a, what is it? It's a five plus two contract. Pardon with me. five years and 2 years option. There is no sell-on clause. The senior source told me, you know, one, I don't think he'll ever be sold for more than 105. And two, I think he's never leaving Arsenal. He'll probably retire at Arsenal, you know. If anything, you know, if it doesn't work out, he might come back to us with his tail between his legs. But it wasn't a point worth arguing. The point worth arguing was the fee structure. They wanted to pay it over. They wanted to pay 20 million up front, 20 million a year for 4 years. We wanted it over 18 months. We agreed over 2 years. So 33.33 million up front. Another 33.33 million in 12 months' time, and then the final one in 24 months' time. So, you know, that actually allows us to compete because cash is king in the football business. If we can do our deals, when we do our deals over 4 years, and we've done our deals over 2 years, that actually gives us even more money because no one pays up front. So when people talk about budgets, transfers, we're only looking about the first down payment. If you can sell at 2 years, but buy at 4 years, you know, you're doing a really good thing. And that's what I hope we're going to do. So, John.
Yes.
Declan Rice. Yeah. Any regrets?
Oh, I'm surprised we got that money for him in the end.
Yeah.
I'm surprised in a way he went to Arsenal because I thought that, but you know, there didn't seem to be a lot of people falling over for him in the end. Yeah, good luck to him. I hope he wins nothing at Arsenal. Picks up a cup for England at some point.
Right, okay.
But I don't particularly want him to succeed
at
Arsenal.
You don't want him to do well at Arsenal.
But I don't really care. To be honest with you, I don't really care.
Well, that's fair enough.
I don't wish him ill. Of course I don't wish him ill.
He got injured yesterday, and he's injured today. And my sources tell me that he's got a calf injury, and it's bruised and bloody.
He won't be long, will he?
But he's not serious. But, you know, there is people that wishing him that, he'd missed the start of the season, which I think is a little bit
I don't wish him ill at all. I just kind of, he doesn't play for us anymore and I kind of don't care about him at all. And it's just, good luck to you, mate. Off you go. See you later.
I still have my Canning Townland picture of him holding up the cup and I haven't got a problem with having that. I'm in the studio. I'm in the study now with that picture and, you know, I haven't got an issue. The only thing I have a problem with, and I've had to switch off, I'm getting a little bit sick of how he gushes about being in North London, and I'm slightly embarrassed for him. You know, I'm a gunner now.
But
I'm
how do you see
now,
it?
I'm
Why,
in North London.
How do you
think,
see that?
Well, because it's on Twitter and stuff, and it just comes into my feed, and you just think.
Yeah, I don't even look at it.
I mean, I don't
it.
Go I out just... my way to look at it. And
what do you expect him to say, Sean?
Well, do you know what? I expect him as a professional go, come on, guys. It's a bit much now. This is a bit cringy. It's not that. It's not
this
that,
is what has to be done. Look, this
yeah, but
is
the, Arsenal's this is more cringy than West Ham
up,
in
hold
their
up.
Marketing.
As someone that you know wants content, wants to be able to report on content.
I get it.
Yeah, this is where the content comes from. Fans of Arsenal will want to hear from him. If he's the biggest transfer, they've not the best player, but the biggest
cringy.
Transfer.
Come on, some of
you
the
say
things.
It's a bit
I'm
cringy,
a gunner.
Yeah?
I'm in North London now.
Well, this hold up. But this is the same bollocks that we listened to when we signed No Marks from the back streets of Brazil who dreamed of playing for West Ham when they were 5-year-olds on the Copacabana. You know? And a section of the fan base will lap it up. A section of the fan base and go pull the other one and a section of the fan base will laugh at it.
Apparently, there are some videos coming out of where he says really nice stuff about West Ham. So
but I don't know. Listen, he left in the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah, he put out a decent enough message.
Yeah.
You know, in his first interview, he mentioned a lot about West Ham. I thought West Ham handled the goodbye in a good way, to the point he didn't even mention that he was going to Arsenal.
Yeah, I did like that. That was a slightly up yours.
Well, not slightly up yours, but, you know, look, off he goes. Thank you very much. We'll take the money. You know, we've sold a golden player for a giant fee. And one that actually we won't look back and think, blimey, did we get had over there? Because when we got 18 for Rio, we thought not bad. And 18 months later, they got 30 for him.
Yeah, let's hope they don't get more than 105. I mean, it seems unlikely, but you never know. You had to concede on some things.
The thing is, we spent the past 3 years going, I hope he stays for one more season.
And he did.
So, but 3 years ago, he ended up staying.
Oh,
for three
true.
Yeah, so for the past,
and he won
seasons,
a cup, you know.
And this
you could
is
say
thing.
He won us the cup.
Well,
one of his goals was very important.
But look, that's peak West Ham. Yeah, that trophy.
Do you wish him well, at Arsenal?
I hope he gets out of it what he wants. Yeah,
no,
and
that's not answering the question with greatest respect.
I hope Arsenal win fuck all.
Right, fair enough.
But that's exactly the same.
That's,
isn't it?
That's generally what I hope anyway.
All right.
I,
so there's a little moral dilemma. Barcelona and Arsenal in the Champions League final, and Declan Rice is playing. Who are you cheering for?
Arsenal.
Good. All right. So
no, because if Declan Rice weren't playing for Arsenal, I'd be cheering for Arsenal.
Right. Okay. Well, some people won't. Some people actually will say Barcelona Premier League club. It's a
the
club.
Best thing about Tottenham reaching the Champions League final was the fact they played another English team, so I could cheer for them.
Yeah, true. How about you? John.
I don't cheer. I'm just,
your brother's an Arsenal
he is.
Armchair supporter.
He is. And his son now. He's, yeah. Oh, yeah. So they're
when's
very
the last
pleased.
Time Robert went to
I think they went last year, actually.
Oh, did they?
Went down there.
I stand corrected.
But, I've always been a person who like always favours the English team in a final. So
yeah,
unless it's Tottenham, to be honest.
Cool. All right. Well, he's gone. Lanzini's gone.
Where did Lanzini go?
He hasn't gone anywhere yet. I was watching him on. He still seems to be holidaying. So, you know, there was talk of him going to Villa, but I don't think Villa are in financial issues. There was talk of him going to. The problem is, there's always this talk, and his father went, "I want him to see back to River Plate." Well, River Plate's got no money, right? Here's a player that was on 80 grand a week. Right, who's going to offer him 80 grand a week in Brazil or Argentina?
He's been with us a few years on 80 grand a week. He could probably afford to
go back
to South America. And
all right, it's all South America to me. But you know, I think he at 28 he's probably going to pick up a. I don't know about Premier League. He could pick up one of the new teams coming up, Sheffield United or something, that would want a bit of experience. Or he might go somewhere in Europe, you know?
Yeah.
It's a shame, I sort of get that.
I think he was underused last season.
I
agree.
He didn't have any injury problems at all, did he, last season?
Yeah, I totally agree.
I don't think he sought a new contract, and I don't think we offered him. I think there was a sort of mutual understanding that he wanted to go on a three. We didn't offer him one. If we thought he might want, we might have offered him one on reduced terms.
Right.
And obviously, let's talk about the next one. Obviously, breaking news this evening. So, Aaron Cresswell. I mean, some people are confused why Aaron Cresswell would sign a new contract. But as we revealed on 6'2" last year, he actually signed a contract last year in 2022. So last summer he signed a 12-month extension. They just never announced it. So it's not like he signed just before his contract was due to run out this summer. He'd already signed it in 2022. But look, the guy has got 1 year left on his contract. He's on 50 grand a week, which is less than a lot of the other players. Wolves offered him more, I don't know how much more than the 50 grand a week. They offered him a 2-year contract, so twice what he's got for a 33-year-old, and an option, a possible option, of another 12 months. He's bought a house in Merseyside, and I suppose Wolves is a little bit closer to Merseyside, and he wants to go. But tonight, I got told by the senior source earlier this week, it was only 50-50, and that they couldn't agree a fee. He didn't tell me the figure, but you know, we know it's been reported that Wolves have offered $2.5 million and we want $5 million. Someone did say perhaps we should take $3.75 million, which was the price we paid Ipswich for him in 2014. But I know he hasn't trained all week, and I don't think he's going to France because his head's not in the right place. So I don't know how he's going to deal with this. I hope he's a professional, but you know, Wolves have got real financial problems. They've got FFP problems. They've got finance problems. And I think they're looking to sell the club as well. So everybody who I talk to about Wolves is saying that it's an absolute mess. I know. What do you guys think about Cressy?
I would take a fee if he wanted to go.
Two and a half? Are you happy just because they can't afford it?
Yeah, it's squeezed to three. You know, I don't mind. If that's what he wants.
That's what he wants.
I would have thought.
That's why he's not training, because he's.
I would have thought it'd be nice to let him go, you know.
What, he wanted to go to Wolves?
Yeah.
Mate, I'd let him go on a free.
Really? Okay.
When you're talking about holding out for £2 million when you just banked 105, realistically, what's the fucking point?
Yeah, I get you. It's a valid point. Let's see. I mean, obviously, this is the same thing happened with Craig Dawson, didn't it? You know, where we wouldn't let him go. And, you know, we're looking at this left back from League One, French League One. Tuffet, something like that. Adrian Tuffet.
Tufnell, isn't it, Phil?
It's not Tufnell. I think it's Tuffet. Oh, right. Tuffet. Who's, you know, one of the players of the season. Is it Rennes that he plays Rennes. For? Is it?
Yep.
Who we play on Saturday?
Yes.
There you go. So maybe we get a chance to look at him on Saturday. Not that we're going. Look, I know there's a lot of other people. I counted 12. I wrote a story that 12 Hammers have been. Scamacca apparently is not happy, moping around the dressing room, but he's got to stay. Roma may want him, but we're not accepting a loan. We want the full money back. We're not selling him on the cheap.
If Which was Inter- what, 35?
Well, I think we paid, it was 35, but I think we paid about 30. Or we've agreed to pay 30 in instalments. We haven't paid it all yet, obviously.
Yeah.
And there was about 5 million extras. So I don't think we've paid anything close to 35. But we're on our obligation to pay at least 30, John. So we want at least 30 back. We can't sell him for 20. There's been rumours about Inter Milan. But look, no one's made a bid. No one's made an offer. They've inquired about loans and we've said, no, he's not available for loans.
They don't have that ability to pay that sort of money.
No, Roma don't, believe it or not. So, you know, he's just got to suck it up. And look, if we move on to Antonio, it's the same, right? Antonio's trying to force him. Look, he did this last time, and we know he's got family issues, etc. But he wants to force his way to Steven Gerrard, to that Saudi Arabia club, on a three. Piss off, mate. Piss off. You know, if the Saudi Arabian club can pay Steven Gerrard 15 million pounds a year or whatever it was to be the manager, they can afford to pay us 10-15 million. I'm told David Moyes thinks he's a bit inconsistent, wouldn't stand in his way, but we're not letting him go on a free, right? And we need a replacement. So
David Moyes thinks Antonio is a little bit inconsistent.
That's what I hear. Yeah, huh. That's what someone told me. Did you not know that? I'm sure.
No,
I
didn't.
Yeah, a very good source told me that.
He's very astute.
Yes, the rest of us have seen for a long time. Look, and Ings, I don't think is going anywhere. I've not heard, you know, I don't think we're making a striker a priority, because at the moment the three are not going anywhere. And it will be interesting, because the next person I'm going to move on to is James Ward-Prowse. So, you know, obviously Ings and James Ward-Prowse know each other. We want to buy in a captain. James Ward-Prowse is 28. He's a set piece. He's the second best Premier League set piece taker in the Premier League history after David Beckham. He scored 17. David Beckham scored 18, so he's just one away from David Beckham. He has scored 22 in his history. Obviously, a career history, so some of them in the Championship. And, you know, and he's got good leadership skills. Southampton supporters I know absolutely love him and say he's absolutely passionate about what he does. So look, I do hope he comes. I know he's a Moyes kind player. He's not an exciting player, but he's the kind of experience you want without a true captain. And people calling for Dimitri Payet, the 36-year-old Dimitri Payet, who's a little bit chubby at the moment.
Who's calling for Payet?
Oh, people on Twitter, obviously, John.
Saying, must be the fan base.
They're saying that he must
come.
You
didn't know the fan base was Twitter, did you, John?
Yeah.
Don't do Twitter.
Yeah. Or X, as it goes now, obviously.
There you go. Twitter, see, the fan base.
X. Done. Yeah. And they want him to come. But do you know what? Here's a little fun fact. Do you want a fun fact?
Sure.
I'm going to give it to you anyway.
Hit us with the fun fact,
sure. I'm going to ask you a question first. How many Premier League free kicks do you think Dimitri Payet scored, John?
Four.
You were close. It was three.
I didn't want to ask me then.
All right. Or how many do you think he scored?
Well, fun enough, I was going to go three, but
it
obviously...
Yeah, so we've got this idea that he scored. When I've asked other people, less clever than you two, they've gone, oh, you know, five, six, six, seven.
No, he scored a couple in the cup.
How many three kicks, goal-free kicks, do you think he scored for Marseille?
No idea.
Oh, I'd well, in his whole career.
Yeah. 12.
No, I'd go lower. 8.
5.
There you go.
So in the league, he's only scored 8 free kick goals. I didn't include cups and because I didn't have that information, but 8 compared with 22 for James Ward-Prowse. So people seem to be, and maybe this is a Twitter thing, they seem to be turning their nose up at James Ward-Prowse, but saying we should be signing Dimitri Payet on a free.
Again, Sean?
Yeah, again. Don't listen to X.
What people?
Yeah, X.
Well, you know.
X being...
Why are you calling it X now? I've not seen it
so,
as X.
So Elon Musk has renamed Twitter X, and instead of tweets, they're now X's.
When has that happened?
Obviously,
in the last few days.
The other day. So when you log into Twitter, actually, it comes up with an X as it loads. Yeah. But you just, it's Twitter, you know. Unless, of course, you're Sean.
X. Anyway. Harry Maguire. You know, there is interest from David Moyes with Harry Maguire. But he's on 180 grand a week. They want 50 million for him. So unless they're going to loan him, because apparently he's got an idea to play free at the back, unless they're going to loan him and they're going to pay the majority of his wages, there is no way Harry Maguire will come to us. We're not paying that much money unless Man United want to loan him and pay the majority of his wages. So I think we can forget that one. Scott McTominay, same thing. David Moyes is interested in Scott McTominay, but...
Who's he?
Who?
Scott McTominay.
Man United.
Man United.
Oh. And Scotland. He's actually...
He is.
I thought it was Scott McTominay.
Oh, yeah. I knew you were going to pick me up in the pronunciation. Oh, who cares? Come on.
Okay.
They want...
He's a decent player.
They want...
He's a decent solid...
They want 45 million for him, John. And my source said, not in a million years. We're not paying that much. So that's not looking very likely as well.
What's our most expensive transfer we've done? Was it Paqueta?
I think it is, actually.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Which was, what, 38 or something?
I think it depends. Wasn't it 42 of add-ons? So depending on who you... If you're asking Sean, it'll probably be 42.
Well, it's not, actually. It's way less than that.
Go on.
Well, because Leon actually published exactly what it was. So it, a lot of it, 17 million in add-ons. And I don't know how many other add-ons, but...
Leon?
Was...
What, Leon? Leon?
Yeah. Oh. Didn't he come from Leon?
Oh, Leon.
Oh, come on, guys.
Sorry, I thought you meant Leon.
Like the DJ guy.
Yeah, I thought your mate. I'm going to think no. Right, I already know that. But
So how much is it, Sean?
I'm just looking it up in euros because...
Because Euro sounds a lot better, doesn't it?
Well, no, I'm going to tell you, right? So, it was 52.3 million pounds, right?
What?
That's what the total deal was. It was 61.6 million euros. And that translates to 52.32 million pounds, right? This is what Leon said. The option fee was 16 million pound, right? 16.16 if you want to be precise. So the actual transfer fee was 36 million pounds, right? 36.16 if you want to be precise. That's 12 million pound a year. So how much have we paid for Paqueta? 12 million. And another 12 million in 12 months' time.
No, don't play that fucking
No, I'm
game.
Just saying the reality. Don't
no,
give me
ain't
that.
No, because it don't work like that. Nobody reports it like that apart from idiots like you.
We've
what
agreed
is the transfer fee?
£36 million.
Right, thank you very much.
Which we've paid 12.
So when everyone talks about, you know, 40-odd million for McTominay and things like that, you sort of think, why are we even... considering spending breaking our transfer record for these players, you know?
Because you do have to pay more for proven Premier League players. People think he is a decent player, he's proven in the Premier League. He's an international as well. So you will pay that. Plus he's coming down from a club. So when you buy him from a club like Man United, you don't pick up bargains realistically from clubs like that. They don't do that. Now, it's it's a twofold thing, realistically, is that if you want, years ago, you know, we signed Stuart Pearson from Man United when we were in Division Two, you know, but those days are long gone because of two things. The players don't see West Ham.
Don't want to come.
Don't want to come to us because we're not in that bracket of players. And they, you know, but we need players like that to help lift us up. They've got an experience of playing in the Champions League, of being playing for a top six. You know, he's been a runner-up in the Premier League, and he's been a regular player in that. And they come with that mentality. So, unfortunately, to do that, you do need to sign players like that from clubs like that. Not every player we sign from abroad is going to be a success. You know, for every, you know, Pakatar, we could go now as a success. People were sitting on the fence on him. Scamacca's not a success. I don't think he's a failure, but he's not a success. So what are you going to do? You have to go back to tried and trusted.
But, you know, he's not going to Newcastle. There was talk that he might go to Newcastle or even, I forget what it was, Juventus, was it?
I don't know. But look, personally, I'd rather they went out and signed that Alex Scott from Bristol City. But
he has changed agents, as we know. He's got a new Brazilian agent and he's got a European agent that we may or may not know.
What, McTominay?
No, we're talking about Pakatar.
Oh, well, we were talking about McTominay. Oh, right, okay. So you've now switched.
Sorry, we were talking about both, cross purposes.
All right, okay.
I just feel that we the club sort of boxed itself into a corner with the Moyes situation, and so they've really got to just let Moyes have his way. I think now that they've kept him on, I think they should just back him, and he's got a short term vision of it, and he needs to get the players in because he knows his arse is on the line. He's not going to look long term and have punts on players.
You
can understand why he wants to go for the Wolves. You should say that
because our second signing, which could be announced tonight or tomorrow, is Carlos Borges from Manchester City.
And Moyes was keen to sign him.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. But we all know.
You know, Moyes wasn't keen to sign him. But you know what? And I've explained this. It works like a committee. Now, I think it's a committee of three rather than four. I don't want to be unkind to Mark Noble, but I'm not sure he gets a particular vote. I think Tim Steyn and David Sullivan. And
so
David.
Basically, we're like communist Russia from the 1970s. It's like the Politburo.
I think there is a chance that Moyes did get. He's not, let's admit, right, without going into this, he's not a Moyes player, is he, Carlos Borges?
But you can see over the past pretty much who players that aren't Moyes' players, can't you? And you know, they might sign this lad, and he's not going to get much of a look in, is he?
Well, we don't know. Some people say he's, you know, Man City people rave about him. He's an attacking midfielder, which is... but other people say they've heard bad reports.
Do you think that Flynn Downs was a Moyes signing?
I don't know. I've not heard one way or the other.
Well, I suspect that he probably wasn't. And you know, I think if you look,
well, he doesn't want to go the. I mean, while you're talking about it, he doesn't want to go the other way. I mean, I said earlier there was a dozen players. Flynn Downs could be loaned out to Southampton as part of the deal. He said, no, I don't want to. I want to fight for my place. I don't want to go to Southampton to the Championship.
I've been trying to think about his opportunities he's had last season to show. And then on occasion he showed he was pretty decent, but I don't remember him actually playing that holding central defensive midfield role, which essentially is what he is. And I don't know whether Moyes has actually ever played him there. And it makes you wonder, well, does he sort of setting him up to fail? Or, you know, I just get a feeling if Moyes doesn't like you, or he's like Borges or whatever his name is, I don't think he's going to get much of a look in
This is going to be the big test. You're not wrong. Look, I don't know who else is going out there. Just to finish off what I was saying, Ben Johnson, obviously, could still be leaving. I think Everton are interested because he only has got 12 months on his contract, and if he doesn't get sold in the next two windows, he leaves for free. Thomas Souček has got 2 years remaining on his contract with no sign of compromise on his extension. I'm told by an agent close to him he wants to move on. Interesting, last week, someone who spoke to him outside the training ground said he was moving house. Now, I don't know if that means anything, but he was moving the house this week. Aaron Cresswell, we've already talked about. Danny Ings, we've already talked about. Pablo Fornals has been linked to wanting out because of his frustration over a lack of minutes on the pitch last season, but I haven't heard anything beyond the reports. Flynn Downs, we just talked about. Say, Benrahma is also, they say West Ham are open to selling him. I'm not sure that's true, but that's what the reports say. Pakatar to Newcastle, we've already spoke about. Areola, so another one tip for a summer move. Areola, unless he gets assurances, he will be first choice keeper. You just know Moyes is going to start Fabianski. And the final one is Fio Kera. And this was a bizarre one that they're talking could be a summer departure back to Germany. No, we're not going to see all 12 of them leave, are we? We'll be in trouble if they do.
Yeah.
It's silly season, right?
Well, yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's all just what, you know, you reap what you sow, don't you? It's the way, you know, we've had conversations on whatever various times about things. And I think we all just agree the bottom line is we're run by Sullivan and this is the shit show that it is. And you just, you know, you think about things in a practical way. You know, I think we know that Rice is going for a year,
yeah,
or however long. And then, you think, well, let's have someone lined up ready to step straight in. And then you see like someone like Tielemans go to Villa on a free and you sort of think, well, that would have been good business to have lined him up to, you know, it's just, you sort of see other things and you think of these on the practice, but then you come back to reality and think, well, hold on a minute, we're run by David Sullivan, so it's probably not going to work that way.
I think there's a bit of that. I think there's a bit of both of that, but the thing is, you know, every season we look at other clubs and go, oh, why couldn't we have got him in? Why couldn't we have got him in? Why couldn't we have got him? You know, but we can do that before Sullivan bought the club. There was always been players throughout history that we've looked at.
Grass is always green on the other side.
Well, why couldn't we have got him in?
We've never been run very well, have we?
No.
So, well, I don't, you know.
There are other clubs, though, who haven't signed anyone yet.
No, I'm not going on. I'm not. I mean, I actually agree with Nigel where it's, you know, who gives a shit about
we've
it all?
Got,
it's just
we've
talk.
Got six bids in at the moment, yeah. John. Like, you know, I've told you this.
We're down to five now because Rosser, on, I think, is the Evening Standard. Oh, he's for the Scum. Sorry, he must have got.
Yeah, he
demoted.
Has. He moved over to the.
He obviously got demoted from the Standard.
He went
to
the
Scum.
Jack, right? I know, Jack.
I'd need to unfollow him now.
Yeah.
He says that Southampton Saints director of football, Jason Wilcox, has been interviewed. Have we rejected the bid? Yes.
Yes.
Says.
But I'll move on to that in a minute.
If we get the right offer, we will consider it.
Yeah.
He finishes off.
Go on.
As all relegated clubs have to say, and I think West Ham once said it in 2003 about Joe Cole, we don't have to sell.
Yeah. No, I agree. Look. The latest, and I wrote on 6 Foot 2 this morning a transfer update. Conor Gallagher, right? We put in a bid, $37 million plus three extras. Got that confirmed last week. We were going to put a second bid at 42, but Conor Gallagher's agents, intermediaries, went, don't want to come. And I know there's still talk, oh, we're not giving up. I think I saw a report tonight going, you know, it's not necessarily over. We're going to make another bid. I've been told by a senior source, absolutely not.
I saw an interview with Pochettino saying he's in his plans for next season. So,
yeah, Pochettino, apparently he greatly admires Pochettino. Oh, maybe he doesn't admire David Moyes. He wants to play there. He wants to stay. He's made it absolutely clear to West Ham he does not want to leave. So there's no point in carrying on our pursuit of Conor Gallagher. So obviously Scott McTominay we've talked about, 45, we're not paying that. James Ward-Prowse, right? So I've been told our valuation is about 20 million. And Southampton's valuation is 40 million, right? So that's why we're miles apart, and that's why Southampton are saying what they are. Oh. So don't we just shake hands at 30? Is he worth 30?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Is he worth 30 to West Ham?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Forget
transfer
fees.
I'm asking you that question.
Yeah, but no, there's how you gauge transfer fees. It's like a finger in the air now. There's no set, you know, there is no real transfer market where you can walk down, look at the stalls and go, well, he's selling him for 10. Oh, he wants 30 over there. I'll buy him at 10. It don't work like that. It's what the club are willing to pay. A club like West Ham is always, when it's got money in the bank, going to be forced to overpay or going to be tried. And this is the thing. You get the section of the fan base that screams, pay the money, sign him. You sign a player on big money, you're shit. What a waste of money. What'd you do that for? You know, I've just retweeted an article I wrote a year ago, Elter Skelter.
Yeah, yeah.
You read the article. Yeah. I could have wrote it this summer.
Yeah, of course. But let me ask you, because I haven't got David Sullivan on this podcast, and I haven't got David Moyes on this podcast, or Mark Noble. I'm asking you, is he worth 30 million?
It's difficult to quantify that, and that's the point I'm saying. Who knows what he's worth? He could come to us.
Is he worth 30 million
to
you?
He could come to us, and score the winning goal in the Europa League final that puts us in the Champions League, and he's just qualified West Ham for like 100 odd. Well, you say that, but we did manage to get to a semi-final, so who knows?
Well, let me see if I can get a straight answer from John, maybe. is he worth 30 million, John?
Well, it's quite hard to quantify that,
John.
Oh, for
fuck's
really.
Sake.
The truth is...
Would you pay 30 million?
Look, he's worth whatever Southampton...
That's a different question.
...value him, isn't it? I mean, it's the same way we were with Rice. It's the value of the player to the club he's leaving. Now, if you want him, you pay the money.
How desperate do they want the money? Because someone like James Ward-Prowse could mean the difference of being promoted or not promoted from the Champions
League. He's their captain, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a leader.
And he scores a lot of goals.
He scores...
And he's a penalty taker. That's the other thing. He's not just a set-piece free-kick taker. He is a penalty taker and has got a very good record.
And you again, it also comes a bit back down to the old back him or sack him with the Moyes thing. If Moyes is saying, look, this is who I want. He's going to be my new captain. I want this player at the club. They've got to go and get him.
Yeah.
And they've got to pay the money. But it's their... In that room, in them, their choices. No one really knows what's going on, do we?
Next bit of news. I only got this yesterday. Chelsea have offered us Callum Hudson. Is it Odoi? Odoi?
Callum Hudson Odoi.
Yeah, Odoi. He's a similar player, isn't he? He's an attacking midfielder kind of thing. He's a youngster. He's 22, isn't he? I don't know how mega wages. He's not 130 grand a week or something.
I don't know, but he was a promising.
But he was offered player. Right. He's been offered round the Premier League. I hear.
Where has he been? Has he been in somewhere like Turkey or something?
I don't know. Is he in the England setup as well?
He did for a little bit. He was a promising young player, and he was an attacking like winger, wasn't he? Is that right, Nige? Is that? Do you remember him?
Oh,
Adoy, Callum Hudson-Odoi.
Didn't he break through? I think he's still quite young. He broke through when I thought Frank went in to be Chelsea manager in the season that he couldn't buy any players. Obviously, I think he'd been around the youth setup and they brought him in. He did quite well. Sort of a wide striker. He was in the... I'm pretty sure he may have made his England debut.
I think he did get a start, I think, yeah.
Squads, yeah. So he was quite well respected, but then didn't he get a bad injury?
I don't know.
I don't know if he broke his leg or.
I think he's been on loan somewhere and has not particularly shined. I don't know where he was, but.
Let me have a look.
Depends again. If he turned up, I wouldn't be.
Isn't he a similar player to Carlos Borges?
I don't know what Borges is play. I've never heard of him.
He's an attacking winger.
Yeah, I think
from what I hear.
Then that's what I think Odoi is, or something like.
He's 22. Guess where he went? Where has he been, John?
Where'd he go?
Bayer Leverkusen.
Yeah.
I wonder who saw him there.
Well.
Isn't that where Tim comes from?
Tim who?
He was at Leverkusen, yeah.
Yeah, so Tim.
I mean, if we're going to discuss him, I've got a little bit of tidbit about Tim.
Go on.
For when we do discuss him.
Let's talk about him now. I mean, look, there's a lot of transfer names, but I'll tell you, they're the only ones I've absolutely heard about this week, right? I've been told, just to put this, we've got offers in for six people. We're looking for 2 to 3 signings. The first 2 to 3 that say yes in that right positions, we will sign. Now, I'm just a messenger. You might not like that.
But to be honest with you, 2 to 3 new signings is about right. You know,
You're correct. We've got 22 full people over 21 in the squad already. So we've only got 3 slots anyway, John. Otherwise, other people have got to leave. So I'm saying, unless there are departures, we've only got 3 slots anyway.
Is that affected if we promote like the Mubamas and things? And
they come
no,
nothing.
Obama comes for free because he's under 21. If you're under 21, you don't use a... But, you know, even a Nang is over 21, so he uses a squad place. Coventry is over 21. So
I'd quite like to see a couple of players out of that cup-winning team brought up.
So they are, John? Hold that thought. Mbama is. There's a number of them going out on loan, which will become obvious in the next week. I'm not allowed to say who, but Mbama is staying.
Yeah.
As is, I think, Conor Coventry is staying as well. But we shall see. It will be announced soon. Let's talk about our new technical director. Nigel, let's start
Pearl Diver, as you call it.
The Pearl Diver. The German Pearl Diver, as I got told.
What about him?
You said you had a little tidbit.
Well, the thing is, he's come into the club and it's a sort of a break from West Ham tradition. I'm not sure we've had someone quite of his ilk in the position that he's in. Not sure Husilos was of the same mould of team, and Husilos came in realistically part of Pellegrini's team. So when Pellegrini left, he was always going to go the same way.
I thought Newman as well was going to be that sort
of role. No, Newman was more of a scout.
Hudson-Odoi is going to Fulham, by the way. It's just been announced. It's in very advanced talks. But there you go. Sorry, carry on.
So... you know, there's a big thing about Harry was this sought-after person in Germany. And we were lucky to get him, or we should think. But then when you dig into it, he sort of left Leverkusen because he didn't get the role that he wanted.
He fell out with
Rudi Völler.
That's right. I wrote about
So he then left and nothing.
And he said at the time, by the way, Nigel, because I wrote about this on 6'2", I want to have a new project when I have more control.
Well, this is the thing. This is an interview that Tim Steindl done in May with a Werder Bremen fan channel.
Yeah.
Yeah, called Dyke's Tube.
Yep.
And basically, Steindl says he's saying if we expect a short-term success from Steindl, it looks like he's the wrong person. He likes to plan 3 to 5 year periods.
Yeah.
Obviously, my German friend Evie says to me, his mindset and network seems to be designed for the Bundesliga rather than the Premier League. There must be reasons why his talks with Chelsea, Spurs and Liverpool failed. He says he's watched the video. Obviously, it's all in German. He can't imagine how he can work successfully in the current structures at West Ham. This is what he said in the video, obviously translated. When asked in May about his future, there are offers from the Premier League. But England is different with owners and constructs of the club. Everything has to fit personally and interpersonally with the leading persons. And also, I have to fit with the structure of the club. But then it makes you wonder what he's doing at West Ham then.
Well, I have an idea. Yeah. I've written about this, as you know.
So,
you know my conspiracy theory.
Is it that Moyes has only got a year left?
Yeah. And his job is to bring in the next manager. I think
Alonso. And Alonso, of course, only has a year contract. Yeah,
so this is my conspiracy theory that his job at Bayer Leverkusen, his job was to bring in a manager. And he brought in Alonso. I think he's getting his feet under the table. He's working out. Someone told me, right? Not Sinisul, someone else, but close to the club, said, his job is to bring in the players for the future. Moyes will bring in the players for now. And his long-term job is to bring in the new manager when the current manager's contract runs out. And I think there is probably something in that. And that's why he's not, you know, these stories that he's going to leave after a month, the same ilk that, Noble's going to leave after a month, you know?
How does that leave you looking as a club to a possible player coming in, knowing full well that Moyes essentially has got this 1 year contract, he's just going to be fighting to.
Well, as long as everyone is aware what's going on, I don't really.
You're not going to come in and buy in a project, are you? You're going to come in and just.
That is a danger. No, there's no denying that.
And do you think like the likes of Flynn Downs thinks, look, if I can get through this season, if we get a new manager after Moyes, I can impress him and I might get my chance. Well,
there are people who don't like the manager, and you know, we're not going to name them, but there are players that don't like the manager. And we've known
there are agents that don't like the manager.
Oh, there's always agents. If a manager doesn't speak to an agent, there are always agents who don't like a manager, but we don't reveal how sausages are made. Look, I do think he's there for a year and we look for a new idea. If you're going to bring in like someone...
It feels like a really great year to be back.
Yeah, I know. Welcome ticket. Back.
It's going to be a real light.
Why didn't you tell me this, John's game? Why didn't you tell me this before we bought a season ticket? Look, I do think Steindl's going to build for the future and maybe Boyges is one of these players for the future for next season, not for this season. And we will start filling but and
the thing
and
about
building
these players,
a Red Bull model for next season.
Is he that good that he can go straight into a Premier League?
Who, Boyges?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's unlikely.
He was ranked, but, you know, £14 million seems a lot for a player. But he must like him. And if...
Who likes Boyges him?
Steindl.
Right.
You know, this is a Steindl signing and Moyes...
You know this, do you?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, I do. I mean, whether he was recommended by Rob Newman, and that's another strange one. that Rob Newman's still hanging around, and maybe it's because of this Boyges thing. You know, I have asked the club a number of different ways about to confirm the future of Rob Newman, and I get absolute silence, which I think speaks volumes. He wasn't mentioned in the statement, which it would have been easy to do. He's not been mentioned since.
So what? Looking back at Rob Newman's time...
Yeah, his year.
Okay.
Man City, obviously.
Where are his failures?
Again, this is my theory, conspiracy theory. I think Rob Newman is the sacrificial lamb, the scapegoat for David Moyes. So the failure of the investment of spending £165 million net last summer, which didn't really give the return we wanted to, Rob's Newman is a convenient scapegoat to put it all on him and go, well, you were head of recruitment, it's your problem. Let's sweep it under the carpet because David Moyes, you won a European Cup. Well done, you.
So
he's thrown under the bus.
Out of those £165 million worth of players, who are the failures?
Well, Scamacca is not a success by any means, right? Now, he does say that he was playing with an injury all season, John.
Yeah,
I'm not sure you could say Flynn Downs was a success. I'm not sure you could say Maxwell Cornet was a success, you know.
Maxwell Cornet didn't play for most of the season.
Yeah, I know, but, whether they're injured or not, right, there has to be accountability, right? You could say, has Gerbin a success? Maybe. Not everyone's cup of tea. Has Kerr been a success? Has Emerson been a success? Some people say yes towards the end of the season. Was Pacatar a success till the end of the season?
Yeah, but I think everyone became a better player towards the end of the season.
Well, they did, you know. And what Antonio would say is, because we stopped playing that progressive football that David Moyes wanted us to play, and we went back to plan A, you know, plan B didn't work, and we went back to plan A, or it was plan A and it was plan B, you know. We went to play, you know, David Moyes' boring football. But for whatever reason, right, that where there's blame, there's a claim, right? And I know we shouldn't do blame cultures, but that's football, right? With a multi-million pound, with directors and everything else, someone needs to be blamed. And I think Rob Newman hasn't really done anything wrong, but I think he's a fool guy. And I think in the fullness of time, we will see him go. We're seeing maybe after Boyges, a mutual, you know, Rob Newman has left by mutual consent to pursue other career opportunities. That's what I believe will happen, because I can't get a straight answer from the club. Why was not mentioned in the statement and what his future is. You know, and while we're at it, let's talk about the two coaches that have left as well. You know, why are so many coaches leaving? And
is it that was, in you know, the first trophy in 42 years,
yeah.
And that is, in you know, that will be peak West Ham.
Could
but
be
actually, on the face of it, on the face of the money's going to be at the top of the tree, not really at the bottom. We're not. You know, let's be honest, you know, we're not going to be getting into the top six.
Yeah.
We can win the players that come to us will use us as a shop window. So if players think they're good enough for the top six but can't get there, they'll only come to us for a season, prove that they are, and they'll be happy to move on. We'll be forever that a club that will sell its best players, as is borne out again. And if people want to go, well, you know, Mark Noble never left. It was because no one wanted him. And it may be brutal, but it is honest. Nobody did want him. So if that is peak West Ham, and for the coaching staff, you know, we all know Warburton behind the scenes was a mouthy little shit.
Yeah.
Nevin, obviously, is on a journey. He's part of the England setup. He wants to go and taste other things, and after winning a trophy, and he gets a medal as well. will probably like to go and try other things. So I don't see a problem now, myself, really. Warburton was brought in to replace Stuart Pearce, and it probably didn't really work.
I think Warburton, you could tell, he's
he wants he to had be a big number ego one. He yeah, he no, but look, but you got to be a football manager.
Yeah, I get that.
Like you got to have that ego to be honest. Yeah. Generally, to be a success, he's done well from where he's come from, Warburton. You can't knock him for that, you know, because I'm pretty sure he was the bloke that came out of the banking system. No formal football in whatever, but then made it as a football coach, made his name at Brentford when Brentford was the one that started the Brentford juggernaut, perhaps. So, and, you know, as you know, this is what happens. Leicester had won the Premier League, didn't do much after that, brought in Brendan Rodgers, two top five finishes that should have been top four, but they blew it again at the end of the season both times, won an FA Cup, now relegated and gone. This is what happens in football for clubs of our size. Is it a case of this is the second longest run of top flight football, continuous top flight football, I believe, in West Ham's history?
What's the other run, Nigel?
20 years.
Okay.
So it's the longest continuous run in the Premier League. And it is the second longest run in top flight football in West Ham's history. And we've won a trophy. This is peak West Ham, believe it or not.
Yeah.
If you're 20 years of age, you've probably not suffered a relegation in your viewing of West Ham.
Yeah.
You know, so when you look at it like that, you know, I don't know, people could call me, I've been called everything, so I don't care. But this is the thing. We are that club. We are not a big club. We're a club that can win things, though, as we've proven.
Well, let's go and win the Europa League and get in the Champions League.
Well, you know what I think the best bet is, personally? I'll say it now. Let's finish third in our group, fall back into the Conference League, and let's bloody win it again.
I mean, what, Liverpool and that are in the Europa League, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but that's a failure for them.
And
yeah.
Aston Villa, I think, are in the Europa League.
They're in the Conference League.
A Conference League. It's Brighton in the Europa League.
Yeah. So it just winning in the Europa League is like, you put those two in front of us, there's two defeats.
So this is peak Brighton, funny enough, as well. Are Brighton going to get bigger?
Wow. We'll talk about that later, because they're in a bit of FFP trouble, as I wrote a story today about FFP with the help of Kieran McGuire.
So have we got any new coaches coming then? Or?
Not that I heard that Joe Cole was coming in, but that's got to be rubbish, because he wouldn't give up his really expensive, lucrative talking gig and his gig as an ambassador at Chelsea. So I don't see that happening. Oh, there was one. Stephen Round, isn't it? Didn't someone tell me that?
I don't know. That's why I asked.
You heard that, Nigel?
I don't even know who he is. But to be honest, I'm more bothered about the cricket.
Yeah, he left from Arsenal. Steve Round. Arsenal confirmed departure of key man Steve Round. And he's surely heading straight for David Moyes at West Ham.
Okay. Well,
he's an assistant. We'll see if that's a little bit of news away from transfers. Look, there's lots of names, and I've only told you the ones I know about. Big news this week: Porter Cabins to be retained.
That is not big news, Sean.
Do you know what? It got big news. It got over 150,000 on Twitter and quite a lot on 6'2". But look, Stell did me a nice little shirt with the port cabin on the back. Did you not find that funny?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. What did the new director of football say when he saw the port cabins?
We weren't impressed.
I should point out, and I did point out in the story, the porter cabins are not for first team players. They are used by the media centre to do press conferences. They are used for storage. and they are used for a small club shop and a ticket office, not actually first team players. But still, we don't even, this is a thing, when I found the planning permission, literally someone's there and took a photograph of the planning permission. We don't even buy them. They're on loan, not with even an option to buy. So for the next 2 years, we've got planning permission to put rented porter cabins. You know, at the end of the day, shouldn't you just build something? They've been there so long.
So you can now understand when, like, Declan Rice walks into Arsenal's training ground, go, wow, I've never seen anything like this in North London.
And I know.
You can understand it, can't you?
Yeah. Second story. Oh, and this has been a big story today. I didn't think it would be. Away season tickets to go digital. And someone tipped me off on this on Twitter and said, oh, the ticket office is going that. So I went to the head of ticketing, Nicola Key, and asked her. And she said, yeah, we trialled it last year. Where other Premier League clubs support it, we're going to go digital. So I don't think that causes a problem for away season. If anything, it's going to make it easier transferring tickets on barcodes. Is it not, Nigel?
Well, I'd let's see how they do it, isn't it? Because that'll have to be sent out digital tickets individually per club, wouldn't it?
Tickets. What could possibly go wrong, eh?
But as we know, a barcode can be screenshot. A QR code can be screenshot.
Well, who knows? It'll be interesting. I know the Premier League, and I wrote about it today, the Premier League wanted to go towards that, but that was during COVID. Next news story up. David Gold left no will. Apparently this was a story back in April that we all missed, was on the Daily Mail. And a number of legal firms then picked it up, and one blogged about it this week that got in sort of the social media. And I've never read this before. And I thought, well, that's a bit shocking that he, you know, someone of his ilk didn't leave a will. So I asked a senior source and said, absolutely not. It's completely rubbish. The family assured me he did leave a will, and it's just going through probate. So, sorry, Nigel.
Don't apologise to me. It didn't bother me. Frankly, I thought the story was bollocks anyway. Of course he was going to have a will.
Well, yeah, but the Daily Mail quoted court documents and everything. I've written to the journalist to say, where's your evidence? But
yeah, but good journalist don't reveal his social secret or not.
Yeah, true. Next story, two left. AZ Alkmaar. Were fined, as we saw. They were given a one-game ban, suspended for 1 year. They were given fines of about €80,000. But this is the important thing that was left out, because I went to the club and I said, no mention of West Ham. Can we assume that there is no further investigation against the club over the same semi-final? There are no sanctions or investigation against any of the players for their actions? And the club said yes. The UEFA have dropped all investigations against West Ham, and they will not face any action. So that's the important thing to come in there, which wasn't actually said in the UEFA press statement. Do you think the punishment was appropriate, John?
I thought they might get a couple of, like, crowd bans or something.
Well, they got one, but it's suspended.
So I didn't think it was very substantial, but
ban for life 43 fans involved.
Did we get? We've got bans. Have we got game ban?
Yeah, but
for
they're throwing
cups. Are they suspended as well?
Yeah, suspended as well.
Okay. I don't know. It didn't seem.
Oh, actually, right. I think one's suspended, and the other one's not, isn't it, Nigel? If I remember rightly. Do you remember? I'd have to look at that.
I don't know. I thought it was. You're right, Sean. You can't.
I've
stop
got a
sniffing.
Cold. I've had a cold, and I thought I was having
to
come back. I've had a cold all week. It's man flu. I'm dying. But the last story, and look, this hopefully, I collaborated with, as I say, Kieran Maguire on this. He gave me the raw data from his famous spreadsheet, and people have accused me of using FFP and doing David Sullivan's dirty work on FFP. And I thought, well, I'll do my own calculations. I'll look over the last 3 years, the 7 or 8 European clubs that are in Europe next year, how they fare on FFP, right? And I looked at what the calculation was. I had to understand it and work out the calculation. what the calculation was in 2021, what it was in 2022 last year, and what it will be in 2023, the summer this year. And I found out, very interestingly, beyond Liverpool, which is a really well financially run club, and Man City, who, interestingly, are facing loads of charges, so do you believe their figures? Pretty much everyone broke the rules in 2022, you know. But when you look at this year, right, even before the results of the thing, Arsenal are in banging trouble, you know. They have spent, their losses are absolutely massive. How they can afford to buy Declan Rice and all the other players they have makes no sense.
So what's ever happened to other clubs that have broken the rules? Well, they get fined.
No, they get banned. No,
who's been banned?
Chelsea in the past.
They got a ban.
No, they have threatened to ban people.
Yeah, they've threatened, but they've never done it, have they?
But I think they're saying they're going to get tough. Arsenal, current, right? So their current, just over 2 years, we don't know what the third year is. Their losses are 73 million. You're only allowed 50 million over 2 years. So it means they must have made a profit last season. I don't think they did. Brighton, 70 million, right? Loss. They're only allowed 50. So Brighton are in trouble as well. Liverpool are the only ones not in trouble. They've got 27 million to lose last year. Man City got 30 million to lose last year. Man United, 174 million over the last 3 years. Sorry, the last 2 years. And so they've got to make a 150 million profit for last year. Never going to happen. Newcastle, 93 million over the last 2 years losses. They're 43 million over, already over 2 years without taking last year into account. West Ham actually are within it and got 13 million to spare. So our losses over the last 2 years are 37 million. And we can afford to lose up to 13 million last season. The figures haven't been announced.
Yeah, well, your man, you talk that Kieran Maguire.
Yeah.
He was quoted on Twitter. So the bloke just said to him, say, have West Ham got any money to spend? And his reply was loads.
Well, yeah, but
so
don't get wrong about, right? You ask a silly question, you get a silly answer. If you ask about FFP and you ask about money...
No, it was all about FFP. And he says, has West Ham got any money to spend?
Far,
he said
loads. The analysis is far better than a lot of other clubs.
Yeah.
So, yes, we're close to the limit, but people like Arsenal are taking the absolute piss. Anyway.
We will obviously sign two or three players, and we will. They will come in later towards the thing. There'd be an unsettled squad. We'd struggle a bit, and
yeah,
hopefully pick up and, you know, and repeat.
Anyway, we said we'd talk for about half an hour. We've of course talked for an hour and 15 minutes. Is there anything else we want to discuss, Nigel?
No, it's good to see that West Ham paid a visit to the best museum that West Ham...
Oh, I knew you were going to mention that. I was going to see if he wants to buy my hammer, my Thames Ironworks hammer.
He would, actually.
Do you reckon he's got money?
Do you reckon? Have you not seen... Right. Do you think all that stuff was in Australia that he bought?
No.
Do you think he bought that stuff and flew... You know?
And what do you reckon? I sell my hammer for like $2,000.
It's up to you, sure, Emma.
Yeah. Should it leave the country, though? Should the Thames Ironworks country leave it? Or do you...
It's up to you, isn't it? You're the owner of it. It's up to you to do what you see fit.
I'd rather there be a museum that it was
in. Where
did
you get it?
I bought it for eBay. I bought it in the pandemic. It was up for...
£750.
No, it wasn't up for that. It was up for £1,500.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I offered. I'll
just reveal how much you paid.
Yeah, thanks for that.
So, do you want $2,000, mate? Yeah.
It was up for £1,500 and I made a cheeky offer, I think, of seven seven five or something, and I got it. But it's a piece of West Ham history. Oh, it's not. It's a piece of Thames Ironworks history, actually.
To be fair, the bloke out in Australia, you know, funny enough, when I was heavily into the market, I could see him winning things that I'd bid on, because 3 weeks after I'd lost out, it would appear on his Twitter feed.
Oh, really?
So we used to compete in the same auctions and whatever, as I suspected, which obviously we would do. So, you know, it's, I just thought it was ironic. I don't know. no, I won't say it. I just thought that...
I know, say it. For, I know what you're going to say.
For everything that the club did in selling off what they did, to then go... I don't have a problem with them going, and I'm really pleased for the blokes. It must be fantastic to have that recognition. And the geezer's, you know, a long way away from home, you know, because he's an expat. So, and it must be great to have a club representative, even if they're Tottenham fans, at heart, to Ooh. Come round.
Oh, I know you're saying. He don't listen anyway. Round. He's blocked us anyway.
You know, so...
I think you're a bit harsh on him.
Am I? Really? Because I think it... And this is the thing. When you know what they did, so listeners that
he's doing a job. I don't think who he supports is that relevant.
See, people throw this at me, and this is where I pick you up, and perhaps why he got the umpy finally blocked me, because I've done it at him from day one since the day I found out. Is that when you do that job and when you promote this, how can you have an understanding if you don't come from it? The job he's in predominantly should be done by a West Ham United fan.
He's a big cricket fan, actually.
Oh, well, he can fuck off and do the cricket then. Yeah? Because the bloke's clueless. And you know the media stuff is generally an embarrassment, and it's all on his neck.
Well, it's not.
Yeah?
There you go.
Well,
Look,
it is. I don't want to make it personal, but he's shit at his job. I think he doesn't understand West Ham United as a club. He's the type of bloke that will keep his bosses happy, while the rest of the people there think he's a wanker.
Yeah.
That's the top.
Anyway, welcome to the new season, everyone.
Welcome to the new season. John, before we go, tell us about your managerial experience. Did you win?
We did. Yeah, we won 3-2.
Oh, right. How long did George play?
About 15 minutes.
Yeah, he did tell me that. I just wanted to see if
he did a sliding tackle in the first 2 or 3 minutes. And when he came off, it's obviously a G4 pitch or whatever it is, or they call it. And he grazed all down his thigh. Yeah. Little burn. But yeah, no, it was good.
Well done.
We went 2-0 up.
Proud?
I think they raised about 1,800 quid on the day, £2,000 on the day.
Oh, wow.
Well, and I think it ended up at about.
Do you think you could be carrying on your management career, or are you
think
retiring?
It's I think it's going to become an annual.
Or are you
going to
retire
thing?
With 100% record like Trevor Brooking?
Yeah, no, I think it's going to become an annual event. So,
oh,
yeah,
nice!
It would be good.
Nice.
Yeah, that was a good day. Sad reasons, but a good day.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone or anyone who did contribute.
Well done, everybody. Yeah, we've been going 1 hour and 20 minutes. Look, we'll probably be back maybe for a question time later in the summer before I go off on my holiday. Or maybe Len and Nigel will be back for propaganda. Who knows? We make no promises, but we will be back for the new season.
Just remember, we can all see better ways, but we're run by Sullivan, and it'll all be what it'll be. Don't worry about it.
Well, actually, Nigel always says...
I agree with Nigel. Don't let it get
Don't get emotional about... Yeah. Until the last day of the transfer window, it's not worth getting emotional about transfers. And it's a good advice.
Yeah.
I'm putting words in your mouth, Nigel, but that's what you say, isn't it? Not.
Look, there's nothing we can do about it. The thing is, it does baffle me when I read on Twitter fans going, oh, he's shit, I don't want him, everything. And then we buy a player, that player. Oh, fucking, what do we buy him for? He pulls the shirt on, actually does really well. Oh, I love him. I think he's brilliant. He's right. Oh, prove me wrong. Fast forward to the end of the next season. Another name gets thrown in yet. Same person. Oh, I think he's shit. Don't want to, you know. It's a washing machine.
They're all experts, aren't they?
Yeah. Let's
the flip-flop brigade.
Let it crap on. The thing is, we're not a big six club. We can't just go out and buy anyone that we want. Players will pick and choose as they come here. Yes, it's disappointing. That's the way we're run.
Yes, we could be better organised. Yes, we could be
better organised. But then again, you know, a lot of clubs are going to be sitting there thinking that. We'll have the season we have. We'll finish where we finish. Us, the supporters, can realistically not affect that. All we can do is support in our own ways.
Good. I mean, the last word was with you. I've been Sean. Nigel has been...
in his shed.
John has been...
just really interested in this upbeat conversation we've had this evening.
Come on, you Irons.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
Again, because of the shortness of the summer and being in Australia, it's meant the time's been limited. But I'm sure we'll get down to work and do what we have to do.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinis. I'm Kayla Itzinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.